Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today.
The moon and the stars, they wept. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was falling, his body on the cross, his blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon him. Breath he gave, as heaven looked away, the Son of God was laid in darkness. The battle in the grave, the war on death was waged, the power of hell forever broken. The ground began to shake, the storm was rolled away. Perfect love would not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Forever He is glorified. Forever He is lifted high. To shake, storm was rolled away, His perfect love would not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Forever He is glorified. Forever He
break all chains when He rose from the dead. He asked us to give Him all of our lives and to make ourselves a living sacrifice. But church, are we laying it all down? Are we serving the one who wears the crown? Are we putting Him first in our lives? Are we becoming a living sacrifice?
Because it seems to me like we've gotten comfortable with the kinda life. You see, we kinda give it all. We're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, giving it all when it's convenient. But when it's not, we suddenly become lenient. Never crossing the line of comfortability, constantly making the excuse of inability. And we kinda pray, at least enough to kinda get through the day. More like complaining than a two-way street, like an awkward hello to a stranger you meet. Politely acknowledging the greater being, but never listening to what He's teaching.
And we kinda serve a duty to do, from point A to point B, get it done. No time to talk, connect or feel, can stop to help, can stop to breathe, only time enough for one, only time enough for me.
We kinda read, know the stories, know the gist, know just what we've heard from the pulpit. We can't feed ourselves, only eating once a week, caught in a lie that we don't need the meat.
We kinda live, we flow through life, getting enough to feel alright, never searching for more or asking why, cause it's just too hard to put up a fight.
And we kinda seek, neither neglecting nor pursuing, doing enough to be acceptable, enough to deny the guilt. Anticipating the world to come, but only seeking out some, what we already have is alright, cause we're just content with the kind of life.
And we're still kinda seeking for God, and for the promises made known through the cross. For healing, forgiveness, and being set free. For faithfulness, joy, hope, and peace. For reconciliation and the ability to finally breathe. And for the perfect love that dwells within our King.
But now, are we ready to leave the kinda behind? Are we ready to lay it all down now? Not eventually, not when it works out, not when it's easier, but now. Are we ready to live in Christ, having laid all else down now? Because healing is now, forgiveness is now, freedom is now, faithfulness, joy, hope, and peace are now, reconciliation is now, bread is now, and the perfect love that dwells within our King is now.
Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him for His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with flute and harps.
Praise Him with tambourine and dance. Praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him for sounding cymbals. Praise Him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. So good to be with you today, and just such an honor to get to stand here and share before you. And I want to read you a verse as we start. Paul said this to the Philippian church, and I believe he said it to me. I hope he said it to you. But he said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, and being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul said, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. I want everyone that's here today to feel the power of that resurrection. And I want you to know that whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, it's that power that power that raised him from the dead that's living inside of you that'll get you through whatever it is you're facing. It'll get you through whatever the enemy's trying to throw at you. It'll get you through, and you'll not just go through. You'll not just be a conqueror, but he'll make you more than a conqueror. And it's all because he's alive. How many glad he's alive? You know, I thought about what to say here, and I knew that I'd have just a shorter amount of time to say it. And, you know, I received the Lord as personal Lord and Savior 43 years ago. For 43 years now, I've either been telling somebody the story of the resurrection on Easter, or I've been hearing somebody tell it. And even, you know, even before then, I know that I heard it every year, even before I was recognizing it. And, you know, as I thought about that, I thought, you know, I wish I knew some special words that I could say to you, something, some special something that I could say to you that would just draw your heart to the Lord and just cause you to run to him, or maybe if I could just do something that would touch you or move you and move you in his direction. And I guess there aren't any words and there aren't any things that we can do. And you know, the truth is, unless you realize that this story of Easter was just for you, unless you realize that and receive the gift that he gave you, you'll never know. Unless you make a move in his direction and by faith receive that abundant life that he has for you, you'll never know it. And I know there's some here that you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, and unless you make a step towards him, you'll never know him. But also know there's many of us here that do know him, and some of us don't really know what that abundant life really is. I mean, I'm glad we're going to heaven, aren't you? But there's so much more. And unless we take a move, unless we take a step in his direction to receive by faith what he has for us, we'll never know his love to the extent he'd like for us to. We'll never know how good he is. We'll never know how much he's prepared for us. We'll never know how it delights him to bless his kids. I want everybody to just do something with me for a second. I want everybody to shut your eyes. And I want, for a few minutes here, I want everybody to be still. I don't want anybody getting up. I don't want anybody moving around. Because I don't want to stop what the Lord wants to do in your life. But I want everybody just to shut your eyes for a minute. I know this is strange in a service, but I want you to think something. Now, some of you don't have your eyes shut. Don't make me pray that you go blind if you don't shut your eyes. No, I wouldn't do that anyway. But I want you to think something with me. Got your eyes shut? Just think this with me. Lord, I need a touch from you. Jesus, I want to feel your presence today. Holy Spirit, show me how to move towards my Father. I want you. I want your presence. I want to love you and experience your love. Okay, now you can look at me. And the truth is, that's how close the Lord is to you and to me right now. I spent a lot of my life not talking to Him and not feeling His presence and not realizing that that's how close He is. He's as close as my thoughts and He's as close as my words. And after I received the Lord and as I began to think about that, I began to realize that He had been talking to me all my life. He had been pulling me and drawing me all my life. I've never done this that I know of, but you know, 43 years ago, a couple months ago, I made a personal decision to make Him the personal Savior, my personal Savior, the Lord of my life. And unless you make that decision, it'll never happen. Unless you make that move by faith, nothing will ever, you'll never experience the greatness of His grace. I remember 43 years ago like it was yesterday. You say, well, yeah, Hank, but you're a preacher and you've probably always been good and you've probably, you know, it wasn't too hard for you. And I always tell people, if He could save me, He can save anybody. I came out of the jungle in the end of 1970 and I'd been there for, seemed like 10 years, it was only a couple, but I came out of the jungle and I came back to the world and I didn't know it, but I entered another jungle shortly after I was here. I mean, when I got saved, everybody thought, wow, we got the old hippie saved, and I was even the trophy for a while, you know, the one they hold up and say, yeah, we got him saved, you know, but I remember coming back from Vietnam and I remember it wasn't very long until I entered this next realm. Actually, this jungle ended up being worse than the jungle in Southeast Asia. I mean, if you couldn't smoke it, I mean, if you could smoke it, snort it, or drink it, count me in. And I'd been back just a couple of days and ran into an old friend of mine named Rocky Wendell. And he said, Hank, have you ever done any acid? And I said, no. He said, you want to? I said, sure. And my journey began. Now you know, the devil makes everything look fun for a while. And I'm just sharing this personal thing with you. Because I realized a few years into this thing that I was in a worse place than I was when I was in Vietnam. And I realized that after about 3 years of that, I realized, you know, that emptiness in there is still there. That hurt in there is still there. I realized after a few years that all these efforts I had made to try to shake all of this, to fill that void on the inside of me, didn't work. And I said, you know, Lord, I need something real. And I'll never forget that Sunday afternoon on February the 10th, 1974, I was sitting on the edge of a bed, and I remember the Lord spoke to my heart, and He said, if you don't make a decision for me now, you never will, and you'll die and go to hell. Now, whether that's exactly what He said or not, I don't know, but that's the way I heard it. And it dawned on me, so many times in my life I had gotten right up to the point, right up to the place where He had pulled me right to the threshold for me to make a decision, and I always made the decision to go the other way. And I realized if I didn't make that decision now, It had gotten so easy to say no, it had gotten so easy to not make a decision, that if I didn't make it right then, it wasn't that God wouldn't keep dealing with me, but it was that my heart would be so hard that I just never would make that decision. And I'm just saying this today because I'm asking everyone here, what is your decision? What decision have you made? Where are you at with the Lord? You see, when I made the decision, I got to thinking about this. I made it personal, but I did it what seems now the old-fashioned way. Because I made an unconditional decision. I mean, I thought if Jesus died for me and if God loved me unconditionally, no matter how bad I was, that I ought to serve Him then for the rest of my life, no matter what happened to me, good or bad. You know, I didn't enter into this thing, well, if everything goes this way, I'll keep living for you. If everything keeps happening good to me, I'll keep serving you. I didn't know anything. I just knew that when I made that decision, I met the real deal. I met the real Jesus. And as bad as I was, as despicable as I appeared, Doug prayed with me at the altar that night. I told the Lord, okay, I'll make a decision. And about 30 minutes later, my little sister came back and said, Do you want to go to church with me tonight? I mean, isn't the Lord kind of neat that way? And I said, yes. Scared her to death. I said, yes. And I remember going to a place called Central Christian Center. Then it was called Central Assembly. And I remember hearing a wild man talk up there named Mac. And I remember, I don't remember much of what he said because I knew why I was there. I was there to go to the altar. And when it came time to go to the altar, my flesh didn't want to go. My mind didn't want to let me do it. I didn't want to make the decision. I didn't want to go ahead and make the move. And then all of a sudden, something inside reminded me, you remember what we talked about a while ago? And I remember I must have sat there through 28 verses. And then all of a sudden the music stopped. And I was still sitting there holding on to that pew. And I remember thinking that about that earlier conversation. And I went, oh Lord, let him sing one more time. And he said, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm going to sing this one more time. I don't remember even going to the altar. I just remember looking up and Doug was praying with me. He said he was trying to figure out if my hair was so long. He's trying to figure out if he's in front of me or back of me. He couldn't tell which was which. But I made a personal decision. It wasn't a deal that, well, Lord, if you bless me and if everything goes good, I'll continue with you. No, it was, Jesus, if you never do anything else. If you never do anything else again, as long as I live, I'll serve you. You know, in 43 years, I've never thought about not serving Him. I've never had to have somebody come talk me into still living for God. I've never had somebody to have to talk me into going to church and doing what I'm supposed to do. I've had to have a bunch of times people encourage me, people lift me up and brush me off. But the decision was never in question because it was a personal decision. I ask you today, have you made a personal decision? See, and by personal, that just means it's just between you and God. It's just between that one when you had your eyes shut a while ago that you were thinking about and talking to. It's just between you two. And when this is all over, I mean, I hope I get to see everybody in heaven, but when this comes to an end, I won't be standing there with all of you. I'll just be standing there looking my Savior in the eye. And I'll be having to answer to, what did you do with your decision? I want Him to say, well done, Hank. I don't want Him to say, Hank, well, you're done. How many know there's been a lot of times in my life, how about you, that if the time would have happened, I might have heard those words. But you know the good thing about God is He just loves you so much and He loves me so much. He's not looking and trying to pick what we do wrong. He's not looking at our failures. He's looking at all our good things. He's not looking at what we were and what we've done. He's looking at what we can be and what we can become if we'll just let Him be the Lord of our life, if we'll just give to Him and not hold anything back. You know, Jesus will fix your stuff, but He can't fix your stuff if you don't let Him in there. You got to let Him get in there and mess around with your stuff. And that doesn't feel good, and that's not fun. See, because there's a way that seems right to me, but if I keep following that train of thought, I'll end up destroyed. And so He wants to get in and mess with my stuff, and He wants to get in and correct me, and He wants to get in and help me. It's not so He can whip me into shape. It's so that He can help me step into all the goodness that God has. Oh, and God loves you. He loves you so much. He wants to do exceeding abundantly above anything you can ask or think in your life. He loves you so much. He wants to, you know, I've said this a bunch of times when my kids were little. I used to love at Christmas time, or even I just do it all through the year. I just used to love to give them something. And when He gave it to them and they looked at it, they just went, wow. How many know what I'm talking about? And parents, the older they get, the harder it is to come up with something like that. But that's the way our Father is with us. He just wants to do something so big in your life that you just go, oh my goodness, God. And we know, yeah, I don't deserve it, all that stuff. Yeah, but we don't receive from Him because we deserve it. We receive from Him because His love is so great that He's given it to us. And I guess if He, you know, I guess if He would say today, but the truth is, He's already saying something to you today. He's already talking to your heart. I don't know what shape, condition you're in. I don't know where you're at with the Lord. I don't know what's going on in your life, but He does and you do. And He's already talking to you. He's already speaking to you. He's been doing it since the first words of the first song. He's been talking to your heart. He's been trying to tell you, I love you. He's been trying to tell you, will you let me help you? Will you let me be big in your life? Will you let me take this thing that's weighing you down? Will you let me help you solve that problem? Will you let me show you how to step into victory in that area of your life? God is so good. He's so great. I love 2 Peter 3. Peter said, God is not willing that anybody should perish. But He wants everybody to come to repentance. What does that mean? It just means He doesn't want anybody to miss out on what He's got for them. You know, I don't talk about hell much, but if he says He doesn't want anybody to perish, and this is the part I've always wrestled with. Peter was talking to church folks then. Now, I'm not going to go there, But if he's talking about it, that God doesn't want anybody to perish, then that must mean it's possible to perish. I don't talk about hell much because I don't like it, but I looked up some scriptures. I keep them written down, and I go back and glance at them every so often. Because I'm just so thankful I don't have to go there. I'm so thankful that Jesus went there for me. I'm so thankful that He took all my judgment. He took all my sin. He took all the wrath of God that should come to me, and He took all that on the cross. And when He said, my God, why have You forsaken me?" He was feeling all the wrath that I should get. He was feeling all the condemnation that should come to me. And He said, "No, I'll take that for Hank. I'll take that for Aubrey. I'll take that for Greg and Lisa." He took that for you. But then He went into a place called hell. And I got to thinking about this. He had to do that in faith. Even in the garden, He said, "Oh, Father, if there's any way, let's do it a different way. If there's any other way to do this, let's do it a different way." And the angels ministered to Him. He said, but nevertheless, not my will, but Yours, Father." He went to hell. The Bible talks about hell. It talks about it's a place of eternal punishment, that it's a realm of the dead. It says it's a place of punishment with everlasting destruction and everlasting separation from the presence of God. It says it's a blazing furnace where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It says it's a fire that never goes out. It's a lake of burning sulfur, a lake of fire, the lake of fire called the second death. That's enough for me. I guess as I look back before I received Jesus, He was always dealing with me. He was always pulling me. He was always trying to keep me from going to this place. And as bad as I was and as wild as I was and all the rest of that stuff, I always was afraid to die and go to hell. I'm still afraid of that, by the way. Now by faith I realize I don't have to go. But that thing carried on even after I got born again, because I began to feel the Lord's heart. He said, "Hank, I don't want anybody to miss heaven. I don't want anybody to miss what I've got for them." And I don't know, I just ask you today, I guess, what personal decision have you made? I don't know about you, but I'm constantly reviewing mine, and I know we were talking with a lady here a while ago, and we're all works in progress. Thank God we don't have to be the finished product yet. We can receive the finished product, and then we can let Him conform us into that image. We can let Him make us better every day. But I don't know, man. I every day almost, I just look and see how short I fall, Chris. I just go, "Wow." But then all of a sudden, something inside of me reminds me, "Yeah, but I didn't fall short. And because I live, you'll live also." I don't know, in Luke chapter 15, Jesus shared three stories. I believe these three stories showed the heart of the Father. And are you okay for a minute? We're almost done. But one was a story of a lost sheep, one was a lost coin, and one was a lost son. And as I reflected on these three stories, the first one was the lost sheep. I began to think about a sheep. A sheep doesn't just get lost on purpose. A sheep just kind of, really it isn't any compliment when God calls us sheep. Because sheep are really kind of dumb animals, of whom I am chief.
But I got to thinking about a sheep, and how a sheep will go astray is it'll be eating grass, and it'll look over here, and it'll see some grass that looks a little greener, and it'll go over and take a bite of that, and it'll eat that, and then it'll look over here. And it's not really paying attention. It just kind of, and then it'll go take a bite over here, and that just that process just keeps happening, and pretty soon that sheep's lost. It wasn't that he tried to be lost, and it wasn't that he did anything wrong. He just kind of drifted and just kind of went from one thing to another. And, well, that looks good, and that feels good. And then when the sheep looked up, he was way over here, and he couldn't see way over here. You know what the story says? That the shepherd left the 99 and went after that sheep. He wanted him back so bad. You know, I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life where I wasn't trying to backslide. I wasn't trying to get away from God, but I just drifted. I just, you know, the fire wasn't like it used to be. I wasn't thinking things like I used to think. I wasn't caring about souls. I wasn't caring about the kingdom like I used to. I mean, there was a time in my life when I was more on fire than I am at that particular place, particular point. And so you see, it's easy to just drift. But the Father's telling you today, hey, I'm coming after you. I'm coming after you. And if you'll just quit drifting, it doesn't matter how far you drifted, it doesn't matter where you are, it doesn't matter what's going on in your life. If you'll just say, okay, I surrender, I want to be back. I want all you got for me. He'll come. And the Bible says that he compares that to us, because he says that all heaven rejoices just when one person comes back. The next one was the coin, and the coin didn't do nothing. The coin just got lost. It didn't have any say in it. It just got lost. But the story of the first one is the father in the shepherd that's going after that lost one because I've got all these. These are okay, but I want the one that's not okay. I want to help him. I want to help her. And the coin is lost. And the father in this story is the frantic lady that's looking everywhere for this coin. She's looking everywhere for it because this coin has value. And the truth is, God looks at you and he says, you have value. You're important to me. You're important to the kingdom. I have things for you to do that nobody else can do like you. Bible says again, all heaven got excited when just one person comes back to him. The third story was the son, and the son left on purpose. The son just walked away. The son got all his inheritance, got all his stuff from dad, and just walked away. And he got out there, and after a little bit of time, he realized that it wasn't as good out there as he thought it was. And after he had used up all his substance, after the thief had come and stealed, killed, and destroyed, and he was eaten with the pigs, it kind of reminded of me when I was coming to my senses and realized that all that I was going through wasn't fun anymore. And I was watching folks that hit up heroin and then run in and throw up and come out and go, wow, what a rush. I'm going, what? What? And when I watched one of my friends break a point off in his armpit, and one of my other friends that was loaded come and try to cut it out with a rusty razor blade, I went, oh God, what am I doing here? If you've walked away, I promise you, if it hadn't happened yet, you'll end up with the pigs. You'll end up there because he'll see to it. The enemy will see to it. Because he never wants you to get back in right relationship. He never wants you to get back with God again. He never wants you to get that fixed in your life. Because he's afraid of you. He's afraid you'll realize all that God wants to do through you, and you'll do him some damage. Well, what I love about that story is we call it the story of the prodigal son, but it isn't the prodigal son, it's the loving father. Because, I mean, the son comes back and he says, oh, I'll just go back. I don't deserve to be a son. I'll just go back and be a servant. And he's got all this big story rehearsed and all of it built up. And he gets and his father sees him way far off. And his father runs to him. And he starts in with this story he's got rehearsed. And he starts saying, well, I don't deserve it. And the father doesn't even listen to him. He just says, go get the fattest calf you can get. Put the ring on his finger. Get some shoes and put on his feet. My son was lost and now he's found. I don't know where you are today, but can I just say this? It doesn't matter, because you got a father that loves you. You got a father that's coming after you. He's the one that's been talking to your heart, telling you, well, I need to straighten that out. I need to get my life back with you. You got a father that's been telling you. There's a voice in there that's been telling you, come to me. Let me help you. Come to me. I'll put you back together. Come to me. I'll fix you. That voice is the Spirit of God that's drawing you. You know, the Bible says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I used to think that was a neat verse, but I found out that even if I get away, that means he'll never leave me nor forsake me. That means when I drift away, or if I get away, and when I was away, man, he was after me like a bloodhound on a scent, man. Huh? I mean, he was after me. I mean, and he's been after you. And when I finally made that decision on that day, February the 10th, 1974, I thought I found God. But you know the truth is, I didn't find Him. He wasn't lost. I was the one that was lost. And I finally just quit running. I finally just said, no, enough's enough. Now, since I've been saved, there's still been times in my life when I ran. There's still been times in my life where I resisted. There's still been times in my life where I wasn't doing what I knew to do. Do you know what happens when you get? I just say, okay, Father, I'm sorry. I repent. I just rededicate right now. Let's do it. You see, you just quit running. You just quit running. I don't know where you are today. I don't know what's going on in your life. But I know you have a father that loves you. And it's not an accident you're here today. It's not an accident that you've seen everything that went on. It's not an accident that you've heard everything I said, because it's all been orchestrated by the Holy Spirit just for you. Just for you. Because hey, I didn't have what I was going to say. I had some ideas, and he just pulled the ideas here and there and hopefully put them together. Hopefully I didn't bore you, but it's all orchestrated because he wanted the story to be your story. He wanted this Resurrection Sunday to be your day, to be your resurrection. And so wherever you are today, whatever he's been talking to you about, won't you just today say, I'm not running anymore, God. I'm not running anymore. Everybody bow your head. Everybody bow your head. There's not one person here that the Lord hadn't spoke to. And you know, there's no way I can know what he's spoken to you about. But will you right now, while your head's bowed and your eyes closed, will you right now just say, okay, Lord, I want to hear you and I want to obey you. I'm not going to run anymore. He'll be easy on you. He won't put it on you too fast. He won't shake your world. He'll work with you like a loving father. You know, while we're making that decision there and while we're talking to him about that, there's some in here that, you know, you're not right with the Lord. I don't know who you are, but you know you're not right with the Lord. Somebody in here, you've never just really made that personal decision to make Him your Lord. Why don't you do that right now? Somebody in here, you didn't mean to get away. You just kind of drifted a little bit. You just kind of drifted, and the fire isn't there like it used to be, and the stuff going on in your life like God used to have going on in your life's not going on now, but you want it back. Maybe you just were living for God and you were saved, and things happened and sidetracked you and knocked you off course, and you just quit. You just gave up. Why don't you give Him another chance in your life today? Why don't you let Him touch you and move in your life today? If you're here today, how many here today, and nobody's looking, keep your eyes shut, and I don't want to embarrass anybody, but you'd raise your hand and you'd say, I'm not right with God. Just raise your hand right where you are. You know it. He's dealing with it. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Who else? Who else? Come on, who else? Thank you. Thank you. Who else? Thank you. Thank you, ma'am, in the back. Thank you. Who else? I just am not right, but I want to be. Thank you, back there. Thank you. Who else? Had 6, 7. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, young man. Thank you, sir. Who else? Thank you, ma'am. Who else? Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Do you really mean that? Do you really want things to be right? Maybe you've never received Him. Maybe you have, but you just want to rededicate. Right now's the time to do that. You raised your hand. Did you mean it? If you raised your hand and you meant it, I want you just to stand up. You weren't playing. You meant it. Stand up. Come on. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Who else? Come on. Stand up. I just want to be right. I just want it fixed. You're just being honest. Just being honest. Be honest. Who else? Come on. Somebody else. You raised your hand. Somebody, you started to raise it, but you didn't. That's the Holy Spirit. That's God talking to you. That's that loving Father talking to you. Got several standing. Somebody close to them, I want you to go stand with them. Go stand with them. Go stand with them. We got several. Got somebody over on the side. Got people back here. Somebody go stand with them. If you still need to stand, stand and just raise your hand. Let's don't waste this day. Let's don't waste this time. I want to be right with God. Matter of fact, while you those standing with you and you, why don't you just bring them down front here and let's pray together. Come on, just come on down. I hardly ever do this, and I don't want to embarrass anybody, but man, I want you going out today knowing in your heart you're right with God. Come on, who else? Maybe you didn't even stand yet, but you want to. If that's you, come on down. Come on down. We want to pray with you. Young man, come on down. Tell your mom or dad you want them to come with you. If you don't, you want to be right with God today, come today. Come on. Come on. Who else? Come on. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Who else? Come on. Don't miss this opportunity. This is the easiest time you'll ever have to get your heart right with the Lord. The easiest time you'll ever have. So, well, I don't know what people will think. Don't worry about what people think. It's a personal decision. It's between you and your Lord. Some here are receiving Jesus as the first time. Some here have just wandered away, and you just want your life back with the fire and the passion for Christ that you used to have. You're just being honest. It's that personal decision. Anybody else going to come? Anybody else going to come? Are you thinking about it? Quit thinking about it and move. Last time you thought about it, you talked yourself out of it. Quit thinking about it and come on. Hurry. I'm getting ready to pray. Hurry. I'm getting ready to pray. I want everybody in here. Everybody up here. And I want everybody in here, I want you to say this prayer with me and just say it out loud. You say, well, I'm already saved. I know, but say it out loud anyway. I pray this prayer every day almost. I pray it every week on the broadcast with people. And every week I have people tell me, I prayed that prayer with you, Hank. And I ask them, did it work? And they say, yes, it worked. You know why it works? Because he's alive. Because he's alive. And when you make a move towards him in faith, he always moves towards you. So everybody in here, let's pray together. Say this out loud. Father, I want to be saved. Right now, I give you my life. I want to live for you. I don't want to hold back anything else. I've drifted away. I'm coming back. I've got sidetracked, but I want you. I give you my life. I'm not holding back anymore. I give it all to you. I want to serve you for the rest of my days, but I need your help. So come into my heart. Come into my life and save me right now. Come into my life and pull me back to you right now. Come into my life. I rededicate myself to you right now. Father, I stand here before you and I rededicate my life. Because God, I want to be all that I can be for you. I don't want to hold back anything like I have. I don't want to hold back anything else from you ever again. Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, you know the decisions that have been made down here. Lord, I ask you, prove yourself strong in their behalf. Let them feel your presence now. Touch their life now. We give you praise for that. Give you praise for that. Thank you, Jesus. Pray it in your name. Amen. Now look at me, and don't anybody move yet. We're almost done, but don't anybody move yet. Don't leave. If you're here today and you made a decision to ask Jesus into your heart for the first time, tell somebody close to you because we want to get some information on you. We don't want to bug you, but we want to send you a rebirth certificate. We want to get some stuff in your hand so that you can get on your way with the Lord, okay? And so if you're here today and you did that, if you're here today and you're rededicated, hey, just mean it. Just mean it. You know, the Bible, every time somebody got saved, they got baptized in water. We have water. We have people ready to baptize. We have robes, towels, everything you need. Wouldn't be anything greater than to get baptized on Easter Sunday. So if you received Jesus and you've never been baptized, why don't you do that today? You can leave here just as dry as you are now after you get baptized. And maybe there's somebody here and God's been dealing with you about getting baptized. And you say, I think I just need to bury that old person and I'm going to raise up out of that water and walk in this new life God has for me. And if that's you, today's your day. And so if you need to be baptized, you go be baptized. But let me encourage you and everyone here. We're running out of time, folks. And now is the time. This is the day that we need to serve the Lord. This is the day we need to live for Him. He's coming back soon. I want Him to say, well done, Hank. Not well, you're done. Hey, don't anybody go yet. And if you need to do something here, you do it. I want to do this as we leave, and I want to say blessings on you. Some of you are new here. Some of you are visitors, and please, nobody has to participate in this. Go ahead, Charles, and do whatever it is you're doing there. But every Easter, we do a special 30 pieces of silver offering. What we try to do is we try to... It was 30 pieces of silver that betrayed... 430 pieces of silver, they betrayed Jesus. So all we're doing is trying to show Jesus our love for Him. And so for as long as I've been a Christian, as long as I've been at Central, every Easter, we would bring a special offering for Him. And we do special things with this offering. We just recently helped a church that needed some folding chairs, and we just bought them 100 chairs, a new ministry. And so we help other ministries and we do stuff with this, but we give this because we love Him. And again, you don't have to participate, but if you want to, we welcome you. But if you do, I don't want you just to come down and after we dismiss, you just come down and put it in the chest here. I don't want you just to throw it in. I want you to throw as you give it. I want you to love the Lord with it. I want you to love Him and thank Him. Thank Him for what He did for you. Thank Him for what He went through for you. And let that be an extra commitment to Him that I'm going to live for you. Is that okay? So I'm going to pray over this offering, and then I want to speak a blessing on you, okay? Father, right now we give this to You, not because we have to, but we give this to You because we want to. We give this to You, Jesus, because we love You. And so, Lord, take the price of betrayal and let us turn it into a gift of love for You. We could never repay You, and we could never do enough. Thank You that we don't have to. But I pray that you'll continue to let me keep trying. And Lord, right now we give You this offering, and I pray special blessing on everyone, Father, that's able to give, and even those that aren't able to. We pray special blessings right now in their life. So we give You this because we love You. Amen.